This is the Quality News Network. Democrats are deciding on whether or not to approve $50 billion to $70 billion for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's less than half of President Bush's $196 billion. The Iraqi cabinet is preparing to vote on a law to lift immunity for foreign private security companies. The law follows reports that the U.S. State Department promised Blackwater bodyguards immunity from prosecution in its investigation over a shooting last month that killed 17 Iraqi civilians. By an overwhelming majority, lawmakers voted to extend a moratorium on internet taxes for 7 years. The bill also includes legislation that prohibits taxation on email and instant messaging services. The American dream is becoming more affordable. U.S. home prices fell for the 8th straight month. Economists expect the Federal Reserve will cut rates again at the end of a 2-day meeting starting today. The Consumer Confidence Index fell this month, with Christmas just 8 weeks away. This is the lowest reading since October 2005, when Hurricane Katrina forced the closure of many oil refineries, causing oil prices to soar. President Bush criticized Congress for failing to send him any appropriation bills, even though the government started a new budget year on October 1st. The Pentagon says there were fewer U.S. military fatalities in October than there have been for 2 years. As of Tuesday afternoon, in Iraq, the total is 37 troop deaths. The 5 permanent members of the UN Security Council and Germany are expected to meet toward the end of the week to discuss new sanctions against Iran. So far, Iran has ignored demands to suspend its uranium enrichment program. According to U.S. Envoy Christopher Hill, North Korea is cooperating in its effort to disable its nuclear program by the end of the year. Hill will meet with his North Korean counterpart in Beijing. In Kandahar province today, a NATO soldier was killed in combat. 2 others, 1 Afghani, were wounded. For the 16th straight year, the United Nations General Assembly voted overwhelmingly to urge the U.S. to lift its 4-decade-old embargo against Cuba. The General Assembly voted 184 in favor of lifting the sanctions and 4 against. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business coming up next.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping the secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Residents in northern Cuba are hunkering down while Tropical Storm Noel is hovering over the island and expected to move out tomorrow. Noel left a deadly wake in the Dominican Republic where 20 people died. Astronauts on the International Space Station spotted a rip in a solar panel. The astronauts are installing a new solar tower today. Discovery is scheduled to undock from the space station on Monday and return to Earth November 7th. The use of cholesterol and blood pressure drugs is increasing faster for young people than the elderly. According to an industry report, the U.S. study says there are higher rates of obesity and doctors are becoming more aggressive with treatment. Oil prices fell slightly today on word that Mexican oil production is returning to normal. That didn't keep oil prices from rising overnight. The average price of gas rose 1.5 cents from yesterday. And light sweet crude oil is trading down $3.15 at $90.38 a barrel. And on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones ended down 78 points at 13,792. The Nasdaq was unchanged. And the S&P 500 ended down 10 points. We have more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Claudia Eisman.
Okay, Tokyo! Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Alrighty then. You know, I've got an urge to sort of pick up where we left off last night. We had too many morons for one Monday. And we had some great conversation last night as well. I, of course, am Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Tuesday evening, the eve of Halloween. Halloween-ing, I guess. And I'm just tickled to pieces to be here with you, to have you here with me. Whether you're listening live, whether you're listening in delay, on podcast, on the perpetual stream that runs on the network and at iTunes Radio and Receiva.com and Phonostar.com, on the pop-ups, or not pop-up, but standalone players embedded in the pages at the at our good friends WD40.com and AfterDowningStreet.org. However it is that you're finding this program and the programs on the Head On Radio Network, let me express first and foremost our manifest gratitude to you for sharing some portion of your day and your finite time resources with us, because you're what makes it all worthwhile. No, we were moron poor yesterday, and we never got around to the guy that I figured to be the biggest moron of the day, coming as he did from Wolf Blitzer's little TV program on Sunday on Chicken Noodle News, or CNN, and that is former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. This guy is dangerous, and he sort of dovetails with something, a little bit of truth that is coming. You know, anytime Dennis Kucinich opens his mouth, it's not a little bit of truth. It's a great big honking just freight train of truth coming right at your head. And today, Congressman Kucinich was talking to the Philadelphia Inquirer's editorial board, and he said, in regard to George Bush, "I really seriously believe we have to start asking questions about his mental health." He said this based upon dear leader's comments last week, that if you want to stop World War III, you got to keep Iran from having the knowledge of nuclear weapons. You know, some people say that all of his fundamentalism was just a sham to bring in the mouth-breathing fundamentalist voters, but you know, there's a worldview buried in that. And it is the worldview that is encompassed by the fundamentalist understanding of the Genesis story. Because if you remember, there were two trees in the garden, not one. And the tree of which they ate was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what got them booted out of the garden, not necessarily for that, but because the big, mean, bully sky god was afraid that they would next eat from the tree of life. And what does it say? And become like us. Become gods. Now, there's a moral in there. There's a greater meaning that the fundies miss, because they just think it's about a garden that had a couple of really cool trees in it, and the lambs were running around with the leopards, and everything was just wonderful and feeling groovy. No. But George Bush has a worldview that says that knowledge itself is dangerous. And of course, like I've said, we've been to this movie. We bought the ticket before. We know how this. Because by the time they were done with Iraq, they were all the way down to saying, "Well, we didn't find the weapons of mass destruction, but we are firmly convinced that Saddam was involved in weapons-related program activities knowledge." Which is like drilling down through a tree on a computer, you know, till you're down to just like minute little bits of that mean nothing. The program-related activities knowledge. Whoa. And so we see a repeat of that in this business about Iran. If they have knowledge about nuclear weapons, you know, they know we've got nuclear weapons, so we have to kill them because, they can't know that. And, of course, what I mentioned last night about the little line item in Georgia's emergency Iraq war spending bill that calls for retrofitting B-2 stealth bombers to carry the $30,000 mop, or $30,000, 30,000-pound mop bomb, massive ordnance penetrator, that they have no need for in Iraq, that they have no need for in Afghanistan, that would only be possibly useful in Iran. And there it sits in the budget, a tacit admission on the part of George Bush that not only does he want war with Iran, he's going to start one. And so Dennis Kucinich, in speaking with the Philadelphia Inquirer's editorial board today, says, I believe we have to start asking questions about his mental health. And you know what? Sometimes you get a little bit of validation here and there. And I read that and I thought, finally. Because, you know, when you stand in the wilderness, as to a certain extent we here at the Horn do, you who listen, you who moderate the chat rooms, you who are the bloggers and the news ninjas, you who are the callers, you who podcast the program, you who listen live, you who listen on the streams, we're all of us a little bit out in the wilderness. We know that we're the same people. But we also know that the American people desperately don't want to think that the nation is in the hands of somebody who is crazier than a sprayed roach. But we can want in one hand, you know, what we want ain't necessarily what we get. And there is a crazy man in the White House. And people are beginning to pick up on it. And people are beginning to take note of it. What does it mean when Dennis Kucinich says, I think we have to start asking questions about his mental health? Smart man, that Dennis Kucinich. Come on. Constitutional civics test. Why would Dennis Kucinich intimate that George W. Bush may have lost his mind? Come on. You know. Because apart from impeachment, which Dennis Kucinich knows he's not going to get from Nancy impeachment off the table Pelosi, there is also a provision for removing a president from office who is suffering from a disability. And while, yes, we got through the Nixon presidency and the Reagan presidency, it is possible to invoke that clause when a president goes, you know, really around the bend, put him in the straitjacket with the purple crayon between his toes and let him write on the walls crazy. That's why. We may come to a point, and you know, if you read all the stuff and you see the disagreement in the Pentagon with starting a war with Iran, We may come to a point where it is necessary to remove George W. Bush from office and come to a negotiated solution if he continues to insist on a war with Iran. You are by now, I am quite certain, aware of the Zogby poll that came out today. 58%, if you read it very, very loosely, 58% of the American people, God, I'm beginning to sound like Paul Harvey, 58%? 58% of the American people, on the basis of knowing what you know about Iran's nuclear programs, sit down, because it's not easy to swallow. 58% of Americans in this sort of loosely worded survey approve of the idea of making war on Iran. Say it again. In loosely worded fashion, 58% of the American people approve of making war on Iran. Does that make a cold shiver run down your spine? Does that make you just sort of say, well, we're screwed? It made me go to the writings of my hero, Mark Twain, who, if ever a single human being had his pulse on the nature of the American people, be it the American people of 1898 or 1868 or 1906 or what, they're the same people, okay? They're the same people. It was a time of great and exalting excitement. The country was up in arms. The war was on. In every breast burned the holy fire of patriotism. The drums were beating, the bands playing, the toy pistols popping, the bunched firecrackers hissing and splattering on every hand, and far down the receding and fading spread of roofs and balconies, a fluttering wilderness of flags flashed in the sun. Daily the young volunteers marched down the wide avenue, gay and fine in their new uniforms. The proud fathers and mothers and sisters and sweethearts cheering them with voices choked with happy emotion as they swung by. Nightly the packed mass meetings listened, panting, to patriot oratory which stirred the deepest deeps of their hearts and which they interrupted at briefest intervals with cyclones of applause, the tears running down their cheeks the while. In the churches, the pastors preached devotion to flag and country and invoked the God of battles, beseeching his aid in our good cause in outpourings of fervid eloquence which moved every listener. It was indeed a glad and gracious time, and the half-dozen rash spirits that ventured to disapprove of the war and cast a doubt upon its righteous straightway got such a stern and angry warning that for their personal safety's sake they quickly shrank out of sight and offended no more in that way. How much difference is there in that, dictated somewhere between 1904 and 1905, first published in 1923, because Twain's publisher wouldn't allow Twain to publish it in his lifetime, because he would be treated like that person who for safety's sake quickly shrank out of sight and offended no more in that way. You live in that country. 1904, 1905 matters not a whit. And the meeting halls have been translated to Fox News. And there is not a dime's worth of difference between the drumbeat to go and slaughter brown people in the Philippines, from the cry to go and slaughter the proto-white people in Iran. Twain goes on. You'll recognize this too. Sunday morning came. Next day the battalions would leave for the front. The church was filled. The volunteers were there, their young faces alight with martial dreams, visions of the stern advance, the gathering momentum, the rushing charge, the flashing sabers, the flight of the foe, the tumult, the enveloping smoke, the fierce pursuit, the surrender. Then home from the war, bronzed heroes, welcomed, adored, submerged in golden seas of glory. With the volunteers sat their dear ones, proud, happy, and envied by the neighbors and friends who had no sons and brothers to send forth to the field of honor, there to win for the flag, or failing, die the noblest of noble deaths. The service proceeded. A war chapter from the Old Testament was read. The first prayer was said. It was followed by an organ burst that shook the building, and with one impulse the house rose with glowing eyes and beating hearts and poured out that tremendous invocation, God the All-Terrible, Thou who ordainest, thunder thy clarion and lightning thy sword. Then came the long prayer. None could remember the like of it for passionate pleading and moving and beautiful language. The burden of its supplication was that an ever-merciful and benignant Father of us all would watch over our noble young soldiers and aid, comfort, and encourage them in their patriotic work. Bless them. Shield them in the day of battle and the hour of peril. Bear them in His mighty hand. Make them strong and confident, invincible in the bloody onset. Help them to crush the foe. Grant to them and to their flag and country imperishable honor and glory. Yeah, you recognize that too, don't you? Everybody you've just heard described by Mark Twain sometime between 1904 and 1905 are the same 58% who said, hell yeah, let's attack them Iranians. I'm still pissed off at him over that business with the embassy and Jimmy Carter when he attacked and our helicopters crashed in the sand. You know, Jimmy Carter crashed them helicopters by himself because he don't love America. I want to get him. Somebody go find John McCain. I thought that was awful funny when he was singing that bomb, 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 bomb Iran. That's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Yeah, knowing what I know about their nuclear program, see, I've been watching the Fox News. And I know that the minute that feller, that I'm going to get a hand job feller, I know it. He says the minute he's got a nuclear weapon, he's going to carry it personal-like right over there to Israel. And he's going to light it and throw it over that fence. And he's going to blow them all to kingdom come, and then Jesus can come back. Knowing what you know about Iran's nuclear program, do you approve or disapprove of an attack on Iran? It's that knowing what you know problem that's the problem. Knowing what you know. What does most of America know? The America that's not listening to this program, that doesn't listen to our good friend Mike Malloy, that doesn't hear Tom Hartman talking good common sense on Air America, that doesn't listen to Mark Levine, that doesn't listen to the rest of the horn. What about that America? What do they know? Well, I heard they was working on a nuclear bomb. I mean, George Bush said so. I done heard it. He said they's a plan in World War III. I don't want no World War III, so we better... Well, you know, that just sucks. Stream went down and, okay. Gee whiz. I don't know. Maybe that's a sign. Okay, hold on here. Let me see if I'm still in the room. Okay, we're back. Where was I? Oh, yeah, Mark Twain. I don't know when the stream went down, so I'm just backing up for a moment. The stranger touched the minister's arm, motioned him to step aside, which the startled minister did, and took his place. During some moments, he surveyed the spellbound audience with solemn eyes in which burned an uncanny light, and then in a deep voice he said, "I come from the throne, bearing a message from Almighty God." The words smote the house with a shock. If the stranger perceived it, he gave no attention. "He has heard the prayer of his servant, your shepherd, and will grant it, if such be your desire, after I, his messenger, shall have explained it to you its import." That is to say, its full import. "For it is like unto many of the prayers of men, in that it asks for more than he who utters it is aware of, except he pause and think. God's servant and yours has prayed his prayer. Has he paused and taken thought? Is it one prayer? No, it is two. One uttered, the other not. Both have reached the ear of him who heareth all supplication, the spoken and the unspoken. Ponder this. Keep it in mind. If you would beseech a blessing upon yourself, beware lest without intent you invoke a curse upon a neighbor in the same time. If you pray for the blessing of rain upon your crop which needs it, by that act you are possibly praying for a curse upon some neighbor's crop which may not need rain and can be injured by it. You have heard your servant's prayer, the uttered part of it. I am commissioned of God to put it into words, the other part of it, that part which the pastor and also you in your hearts fervently prayed already. And ignorantly and unthinkingly, God grant that it was so. You heard these words. Grant us the victory, O Lord our God. That is sufficient. The whole of the unuttered prayer is compact into those pregnant words. Elaboration were not necessary. When you have prayed for victory, you have prayed for many unmentioned results which follow victory. Must follow it. Cannot help but follow it. Upon the listening spirit of God fell also the unspoken part of the prayer. He commandeth me to put it into words. Listen. O Lord our Father, our young patriots, idols of our heart, go forth to battle. Be thou near them, with them,
in spirit, we also go forth from the sweet peace of our beloved firesides to smite the foe. O Lord, our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of their patriot dead. Help us to drown the thunder of the guns with the shrieks of their wounded, writhing in pain. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their unoffending widows with unavailing grief. Help us to turn them out roofless with little children to wander unfriended the wastes of their desolated land in rags and hunger and thirst, sports of the sun flames of summer and the icy winds of winter, broken in spirit, worn with travail, imploring thee for the refuge of the grave, and denied it. For our sakes who adore thee, Lord, blast their hopes, blight their lives, protract their bitter pilgrimage, make heavy their steps, water their way with tears, stain the white snow with the blood of their wounded feet. We ask it in the spirit of love, of him who is the source of love, and who is the ever-faithful refuge and friend of all that are sore beset and seek his aid with humble and contrite hearts. Amen.
Ye have prayed it. If ye still desire it, speak. The messenger of the Most High waits. And Twain adds, by way of ending this piece, it was believed afterward that the man was a lunatic, because there was no sense at all in what he said. No sense at all in what he said. And you see, I did that not because, okay, I've got a performance streak in me, and I like doing that kind of thing. But Dennis Kucinich today questioned the sanity of George W. Bush for prattling around the Oval Office, mumbling and muttering about World War III and whose fault it's going to be. Because in George W. Bush's mind, World War III is a foregone conclusion, because we got to have World War III before Jesus can get in his golden rolls and come down out of the clouds and bring everybody Frisbees and Wheat Checks and Twinkies. And questioning the sanity of George W. Bush is the only sane thing that a sane person can do in the insane year of our Lord 2007. Now, what's going to happen? Dennis Kucinich's query will be, of course, ignored. It will be shoved to the side in the latest inquiry over whether Britney's new album is going to be a platinum success or a flop. Dennis Kucinich's legitimate query will be shoved to the side because, as Mark Twain said, it was believed afterward that the man was a lunatic, because there was no sense in what he said. The president of the United States can't go insane. Presidents don't go insane. No, no, our presidents are almost like gods. Wow. Trick or treat, baby, trick or treat. Looks like it's all tricks. And sadly, for the little ones on the ground where the bombs will eventually start falling in Iran, tricks are for kids. These are the times that try men's souls. And mine is tried. Mine is ever so tried. We have tonight a full plate of morons and insanity. What did Dennis Kucinich say again? I seriously believe we have to start asking questions about his mental health. There's something wrong. He does not seem to understand his words have real impact. You cannot be a president of the United States, he said, who's wanton in his expression of violence. Kucinich continued, there's a lot of people who need care. He might be one of them. And this should run all the way to the bone. If there isn't something wrong with him, then there's something wrong with us. This, to me, is a very serious question. What does it say at the end of the war prayer? It was believed afterward that the man was a lunatic because there was no sense in what he said. The end of the news story? In response, Republican National Committee spokesman Dan Ronayne said it was hard to take Kucinich seriously. It was believed the man was a lunatic because there was no sense in what he said. Dan Ronayne said it was hard to take Kucinich seriously. Will we take Dennis Kucinich seriously when it's too late? Will we take Dennis Kucinich seriously when no human being can set foot in the Middle East because of the radiation poisoning? Will we take Dennis Kucinich seriously when George Bush has caused fallout to drift all over the oil fields of the Middle East? Will we take Dennis Kucinich seriously when the retaliation for an American attack that has been utterly, utterly, completely, and totally unwarranted transpires, and more Americans begin coming home from Iraq in transfer tubes? If Republican National Committee scumbag Dan Ronayne had a loved one in Iraq facing death every day as a result of the madness of King George, do you think it might be a little easier to take Dennis Kucinich seriously? Compare the words. I seriously believe... Tell me, who's the sane guy, who's the nutcase? I seriously believe we have to start asking questions about his mental health. There's something wrong. He does not seem to understand his words have real impact. And then there's George Bush. I've told people that if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing them from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon. Nuclear weapon. The knowledge. The knowledge. That's the most offensive part of that incredibly offensive statement, the knowledge. George Bush wants to attack knowledge now. Do you realize that by virtue of the standard he set forth in that little news conference, that every public library in America is subject to being bombed by the American military? Those of you of a certain age, do you remember the Barney Miller episode where the guy walks in with the suitcase and they say, what is it? And he says, it's an atomic bomb. I just don't have the fissionable material. Where'd you learn to make it? I went to the library. Because it's true. We're not talking about some knowledge of some holy ritual that is guarded by the bunch of insane priests. We're talking about science. We're talking about principles established in basic physics, extrapolated to murderous ends. And George Bush says, if you're interested in avoiding World War III, it seems like you ought to be interested in preventing them from having the knowledge necessary to make a nuclear weapon. You see, that's a manifestation of murderous intent. That is a willingness not just to bomb facilities, but to kill men and women of knowledge. Of knowledge of certain things. This is 12th century Roman Catholic book burning translated to the 21st. This is where you sentence to death a person who has the unmitigated temerity to suggest that the earth revolves around the sun and not vice versa. Killing people for their knowledge. And yet, Denis Kucinich is the one. It was thought later that the man was a lunatic, for there was no sense in what he said. I understand the frustration that was manifested by our good friend Phil last night. Because we try and we try, and we pour our very beings into somehow conveying at least a modicum of understanding to an unwitting populace that only gets its information from places like Fox and CNN and other right-wing media outlets. I understand the frustration of all of you, and my frustration is co-equal. I could sit here and scream until I felt like my eyeballs were going to pop out of my head and every blood vessel from my belly button up was going to rupture. You know I can. You know, at some point again in time, I will. But not now. No. Not now. Because, frankly, we're called upon for something more than that. We're called upon for common sense. Somebody, when the President of the United States has gone crazier than a run-over dog, and is talking in public about World War III, somebody has got to stay calm. Somebody has got to stay rational. That Rudyard Kipling poem, If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, you'll be a man, my son. Somebody's got to keep their head. Because there are lots of people, and they're incredibly powerful people, who've already lost theirs. And they're just running around like a chicken that's lost its in the yard, just sort of aimlessly. You have resolutions being passed in the Senate that amount to telling George Bush to poke Iran with a sharp stick again a little harder. And it's signed on to by Democrat and Republican alike. Jesus, somebody's got to be rational. Somebody's got to be sane. Somebody has got to sit there and say, now listen, the insane people are talking now. 'Twas Brillig and the Slithy Toad did Geyer and Gimbel and the Wade. All Mimsy were the Borogroves. And Iran wants a nuclear weapon. Somebody has got to remain rational. Because it is becoming more and more abundantly clear to me that rational is beginning to operate at a damn premium. Does it seem that way to you too? Does it seem the world, not the world, does it seem the United States of America has gone mad? I thought we learned something from Vietnam. Well, stop it. I thought maybe we learned something from Afghanistan. Wait. I thought we learned something from Iraq. That wars that we start on our own generally don't end well. But no, 58% of the American people... Is it 58%? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Knowing what you know about Iran's nuclear program... The American people know nothing about Iran's nuclear program. They know less than nothing. They know wrong things. When the stuff that you think you know is utterly wrong, it's worse than not knowing anything at all. I mean, didn't we prove that? Well, Saddam has weapons of mass destruction, and he gasses his own people. And he's got torture rooms and rape rooms. And now we've replaced the torture rooms, and we've replaced the rape rooms with our own. I read a story the other day that I didn't get to, and God knows I've lost the link since then, about little children being released from Iraqi prisons, and their legs are covered with cigarette burns, and they're 13 years old. Oops. Lost it. Sorry. But really, children aged 13 to 17 being imprisoned in Iraq as adults, beaten with cords, electrocuted, burned with cigarettes. You know, because they're evildoers. If you were a mother or a father and your child came home from having been taken into government custody and had cigarette burns, and you and those of you who smoke, I mean, we've all screwed up now and then, and, you know, you burn yourself. You know what a cigarette burn is like. Now imagine just laying the cigarette down on human flesh and letting it burn along until it goes out from the liquids that seep out of human skin to finally extinguish the flame. And then they light another one. And your child comes home with that all up and down his or her legs. Little boys, little girls. Would you go out and just start knocking on doors? Pardon me, is there an Al-Qaeda chapter around here? Is there a terrorist bunch I can join up with? Because these rat bastards that burnt my baby with cigarettes and beat him with electrical cords have got it coming now. We're getting our asses whipped by suicide bombers on bicycles. They've run out of cars, and they're still winning with the damn bicycles. And the news reports say that, the bicyclist bore all the marks of an Al-Qaeda bicycle bomber. What, is it two longs and a short on the little thumb-switch bicycle belt? Ding, ding, ding. Oh, well, that's Al-Qaeda. Who's crazy and who's sane? RNC spokesman Ronayne. Funny, Ronayne kind of rhymes with insane, doesn't it? It's hard to take him seriously. It's hard to believe you can get up and look at the mirror in the morning, considering all the blood that you must surely see all over your hands. How can you hold a razor anymore, you freak? No, but we got crazy oplenty, okay? We got morons, we got crazies, we got everything we could possibly not want to have in order to maintain a viable republic based upon principles of representative democracy. We got plenty of nuts. We're poor with it. But no one seems to want to actually talk about it. The Emperor's New Clothes, I think that's too weak an analogy. But however you want to put it, we have Lord God Billy Bob got a problem with it. Question is, do we just sit here and talk about it? Do we wring our little hands? Do we think we're better than that? The question comes back to the question that was asked last night. What are your solutions? You were given some of them last night. I was given some of them last night by people who have actually gone and done. Go to the damn county commission meeting. Go to the mayor's city council meeting. Show up at your Democratic Executive Committee meeting and demand that they take a stand against the extension of this war into something that an insane man wants and hopes against all hope will become World War III. So we'll examine some more crazy coming back out of the news. You're listening to America's independent liberal radio voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. For the first time in nearly a decade, the yearly budget for U.S. intelligence was made public, $43.5 billion spent this year. The disclosure complies with a law passed by Congress last year. No breakdown in the spending was provided. Department officials say that information remains classified for reasons of national security. Congressional Democrats deciding whether or not to approve between $50 and $70 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The White House wants $196 billion, but there's no sign that President Bush will obtain even half of that requested amount. The Pentagon, meantime, says there were fewer U.S. military fatalities this month than there have been for the last 2 years. As of today, the U.S. troop death total for the month of October standing at 37. The Iraqi parliament approving draft legislation lifting immunity from prosecution for foreign security companies, including Blackwater USA. The legislation is expected to easily pass into law, which could then pose problems for those security guards already on the job and for the companies who employ them. The U.S. should prosecute prisoners at Guantanamo Bay or release them. That's the recommendation of the U.N.'s Human Rights Investigator on Terrorism. His report also urges the Pentagon shut down Guantanamo Bay and the CIA abandon the practice of extraordinary rendition. Near Islamabad, Pakistan, seven people were killed today in a suicide bomb blast about 1/4 mile from the offices of President General Musharraf. 3 police officers and 4 civilians were killed. In Afghanistan's Kandahar province today, 1 NATO soldier was killed in combat. 2 others, 1 an Afghani, were wounded. The U.S. and British embassies in Azerbaijan remain closed to normal activity today following a report the facilities had been targeted for terrorist attacks. President Bush has nominated a new Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Retired Army Lieutenant General James Peak will be the first doctor and the first general to serve as Veterans Secretary. His nomination must, of course, first be endorsed by Congress. Tropical Storm Noel heading toward the Bahamas after pounding Haiti and the Dominican Republic. 20 killed, another 20 remain missing. You're listening to the Quality News Network. A look at science and business news is next.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
The Space Shuttle Discovery's mission extended an extra day so astronauts can fix a portion of the International Space Station critical to its solar power plant. Discovery will leave for Earth next Monday. A University of Arizona researcher says AIDS was brought to the U.S. back in 1969, likely from one infected Haitian immigrant. The biologist's finding puts the deadly virus in North America far earlier than scientists had previously thought. A check of business, the Federal Trade Commission, saying more than 10% of Americans are victims of fraud each year. Hispanics and blacks more likely than whites to be scammed. Top schemes are for weight loss plans, foreign lotteries, and buyers clubs. Federal Reserve begins a 2-day meeting today. Analysts expecting the board to reduce interest rates for a second time. Doing so would probably mean an increase in the price of oil, which exceeded $93 a barrel yesterday. Merrill Lynch CEO Stan O'Neill no longer at the company helm. His immediate retirement was announced by the company, who will now search for his replacement. Light sweet crude trading at $90.38 a barrel. Gold at $787.80 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 77 points at 13,792. The NASDAQ flat, S&P 500 down 10 points. And there's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
The March of the Insane People continues. Not me. I'm Bob. I'm not crazy. I'm Bob. Of course, I'm an excellent driver. Drive slow on the driveway. 9 o'clock. Strictly confidential. Definitely strictly confidential. 9 o'clock. No burn. At this point, that character played by Dustin Hoffman would be a welcome respite in the White House. And in the Republican Party at large. Right? Why? Well, you know, because I've got a little audio for you now, I think, I hope. A little something-something from Sunday. Mike Huckabee, appearing on Wolf Blitzer's little TV program. Wolf Blitzer, legitimate journalist. Well, I'll tell you what, that'll make you send the grape Kool-Aid right out your nose. Legitimate journalist. Whoop! I always heard that legitimate journalists did legitimate journalism, but, you know, what do you want? But no, so Mike Huckabee, who can't see Rudy Giuliani from where he is in the pack of the 10 little idiots, or however many of them there are now in the Republican presidential field, shows up trying to, you know, what is this? Win? Yeah, that's what it is. Prosperity through fear. You got to hear it to believe it.
Arkansas. Governor, welcome back to Late Edition.
Well, thank you very much, Wolf. Great to be back with you.
Thank you very much. How far would you be willing to go, Governor, in stopping Iran from building a nuclear bomb?
Whatever.
Now, see, this is what I was talking about. The opening question, how far would you be willing to go to stop Iran from building a nuclear bomb? I think if our good friend Mark Levine were here, a trial lawyer that he is and was, I think he would be on his feet yelling, "Objection! Objection! Assumes facts not in evidence!" Because he sets up a straw man, Blitzer does. That's why he's not a legitimate journalist. That's why he's a well-paid hack. That's why he's no better than Drudge. That's why he's no better than, I don't know, I've read some decent journalism in the Weekly World News back before it shuffled off to its long home and its reward. I was absolutely captivated by the stories of Robin the Bat Boy as he broke free from his little experimental lab in Morgantown, West Virginia, and began ranging about the nation, trailing after Jenna Bush in his lovesick self. Man, that was some writing. How far would you go to stop a nuclear Iran from having a nuclear weapon? If they actually were working on a nuclear weapon. But you see what this stuff does to me?
Thank you very much. How far would you be willing to go, Governor, in stopping Iran from building a nuclear bomb?
Whatever it takes. We cannot allow Iran to have nuclear capacity. Simple as that. We can't allow it for a couple of reasons. One, they've already made clear their intentions to destroy Israel.
Liar! 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 They have not made it clear. Now, let's go back to the Zogby poll results. Knowing what you know about Iran's nuclear program, would you be willing to attack Iran? Well, they've already made it clear. They intend to use their nuclear weapon to attack Israel, who has 200 to 400 nuclear weapons, and they'd be out of their bloody little minds to ever try. Knowing what you know. See, this is the difference between knowing what you know and believing what you believe. This is believing what you know. I believe they want to destroy Israel because, boy, I sure do want to see somebody light it up real good so Jesus will come back and give me my reward. Lord.
They have not shown a level of responsibility or restraint. And once they get started in aiming it at Israel, or
once they get started in aiming it at Israel. You see why I told you that we ran out of moron time on Moron Monday?
Taking action into Iraq, the destabilization of the oil market that would cause.
Ding, 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 ding. How did our oil get under their sand? Jesus. Let's take a break. I hate to keep people on hold. Who have I got?
Bob.
Hey, Alan.
This is Ed.
Oh, hey, Ed. Sorry, I missed the voice there. What's
That's
going on?
Right. I'm laying down and taking it easy, so my voice probably sounds a little different.
That's okay.
Are you on break now?
No. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I was just...
See, I don't have Agnes here answering the phone for me anymore, so I got to just sit here and push the button, and I don't know who's going to be on it when I pick it up.
Is Agnes sick or something, Bob?
No, she just stepped back from the whole operation so she could help, so she could get back to taking care of the youngins.
Okay, well, I shouldn't ask.
No, that's okay. Folks know. It's no big deal.
Nosy.
That's not nosy at all.
No, I was just, I guess I've been listening to too much news today, but, you know, I heard you say like 6 months ago or more how the wheels were coming off everything.
Yeah.
Bob, we are, this country is in pitiful shape. I'm not kidding you. Even this inspector, the one supposed to be inspecting stuff that comes in here,
yeah,
has one inspector to inspect all those toys, and she don't need help, and she don't want to hire attorneys, and she really don't want to hire nobody. It's the Bush administration cut. And everything is cut for the war.
It's not just that. We wouldn't want to be inspecting the toys too much because the Bush administration has received its orders from its masters in Beijing that we are not to inspect toys and we are not to give a damn about the children of this country because China owns our ass, Ed.
Right. And not only that, between Colombia and South Korea and I forget the other country over there, they're talking about some more of this free trade agreement, and him get on there and make a point blank statement that free trade helps the United States. I would like a further explanation on that, how exporting our good jobs to these countries help the middle class. I would give anything to have the reasoning ability.
Well, but see, you, Ed, there's your problem. You cannot apply reasoning abilities to statements like that. You cannot apply rational thought to statements like that because you got to understand. You said they say it helps America, and you said how does it help the middle class? See, when it the middle class can be damned, Ed. Okay. America is that 9/10 of 1% of the country that makes in excess of $250,000 a year, and they are by God the only ones who matter. That's the America to the Bush administration.
Yeah, well, it's it's like somebody said, he takes a look out over America and say, well, the economy's good, everybody's working. What are they working for? Two people working for what maybe amounts to $14 an hour. Is that working? Is that a living?
Man, that's some living, isn't it?
I am just... And then Nancy Pelosi, they could take chicken manure and make a woman out of her, make her better than her. You know, to take the impeachment thing off of the table is... I'm going to call you and get some addresses and phone numbers because I know you got stuff. And I'm going to personally make calls to their offices and tell them what a piece of crap they are and how what we think of the, you know, it's no wonder that the Democrats has got a rating that they've got that's lower than George Bush. I want to do that to... And Harry Reid get up there and talk like he's going to sleep. I am so, you know, you feel like somebody's got you tied up, slapping your face, and when you get loose, you're going to go plumb wild on them. And I think we should. I think, you know, if they're not going to impeach him, and that slime ball Cheney, they just flashed him on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I am really, it's depressing to see our country, not our country, it's depressing to see our leaders at the frame of mind, if you call that a state of mind, where they're at. I am so disgusted, and like I said, you feel like that you're totally helpless. I don't know how you feel. I know you're smart enough to overcome.
No, I don't. No, I'm right there with you, Ed. That's part of the battle that we fight every day and every night, whether it's this program or a lot of others, is to get Americans out of that feeling of powerless and get them feeling like they can do something. Make sure that folks understand that they're not alone, that they're not crazy, that they are in fact living in a crazy world.
Yeah, well, among crazy people. But it's not a matter of feeling; it's a matter of fact. That's where we're at.
Yeah,
we're. If it was just a feeling, you can take medicine for that. But it's more than that, and I'm not so sure how many people realize where we're at, Bob, is the pitiful part of it. Does 20% of the people know where we're at? Does 60% of them know where we're at and don't know what to do?
Well, you know, take your clue from what I've been talking about, Ed. I got corrected. I think it's 52%. Yeah, 52% of people of the American people in the Zogby poll answered the question, knowing what you know about Iran's nuclear program, would you like to start bombing them? 52% said sure.
They said what?
Sure. Yeah, you betcha.
And I say hell no. You know, that, you know what? We are nothing but a bunch of overbearing slobs.
Yeah, but we got some cool TVs, Ed.
Huh?
We got some cool TVs. Big old 52-inch wide flat screen TVs that will be 50 years paying off on the credit card. Man, we are set for TVs. And you know, as long as you got that TV, well, you don't have to pay attention to what the screwballs are doing in Washington. They don't want you paying attention anyway.
Yeah. Well, if they used the TV for what it was for, it would help them discern what they're doing in Washington instead of hurrahing and watching what is the program Fun with Raymond or whatever his name is. I hear kids talking about it. This kind of, you know, when you've got that kind of garbage on your mind instead of the stuff that's really going on around you that it's affecting you, you start to wonder if you're going to have enough money to be buried time I get through with you. Of course, with George Bush, it wouldn't make much difference. But I'm, you know how I feel about Iraq and Iran,
mm-hmm.
and all the rest of them. They're damn lucky it ain't me, because I'd pull the skids out from under all of them, and them boys would be out of there, and jobs would be brought back here. I just saw where... I think it's Westinghouse, or one of them, is sending, I forget how many thousand jobs over to Colombia or South Korea, or there's another country right in there that they're going to split up some of our work with. And then George Bush make a statement like he did, expanding capitalism is what it amounts to, helps the American worker. It
makes your eyeballs hurt, doesn't it?
Hell, it's worse than that, Bob. It gives you a gut, you know, no gut feeling. But anyway, I just wanted to say hi to you. And
well, I'm glad you did. You wanna listen for a bit?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll put you back on hold. Always good to hear from you, Ed.
All right. Thank you, and I'll talk to you later.
Say hi to Dreamer for us.
Sure will, and you say hi to yours.
Sure will. All right, let's see if there's anybody still online too here. Hey, who have I got?
Malin, second time tonight I've called in.
Hey, Malin, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm just upset like everybody else is about. I feel like I'm in a daze over this whole last 6 years. And it seems to be getting worse. But, you know, someone cracked a joke one time after 9/11 that, you know, the economy was perking up and all this on Wall Street. And they said that, if there were 10 men that walked into a bar on near Wall Street somewhere, and they were all, you know, making, you know, some of them were bums and some of them were making like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year. And Donald Trump walks in the door. I think sometimes that the way our economy is judged in when you figure per capita, that brought the average income of those 10 people in that bar, those 10 men, up to about, you know, maybe $50 million a year income, which skewing the problem, the whole idea. Maybe that we are getting a lot of cheap items for Walmart, and that we can buy them. But a lot of them are bought on time, and now we're showing what's happening when you buy on time.
Yeah.
It's affecting the banks. And people do it every year. They redo their mortgages and so on, and it gets to the point where everybody is just living on pure credit. And
it's all monopoly money, isn't it?
It is very wealthy people in this country, and I can see this very clearly that it is. It is the millions and billionaires that are propping up the averages. When they say the American people are, on average, the wealthiest people in the world, it's really not true. The middle class is going down the drain.
Yes.
And these very, very wealthy people, they can go out and buy their Porsches and their Mercedes and their souped-up Cadillacs and whatever. But they're not the average person. But they are helping the economy stay up to what Wall Street expects it to be. And they're the ones that are basically on trading on Wall Street now. So when you get to the point where you just want to figure averages, it's all skewed. And I just want to say one more thing.
Sure.
This is a different subject altogether, but I don't know if you remember John Maher's show this week. He chased out somebody who asked a question about 9/11.
Yeah, Bill Maher, Friday night before last.
And then Clinton was asked a question. I have always been a big supporter of him. I have his signature in my book and everything. I met him. And all of a sudden, I feel as though he has traded off his party for money. And I just don't look when he said how dare you to that man that even questioned 9/11 having something to do with the government. After all, the government after all the government has lied to us, what other can you expect?
I heard the clip with Clinton, Malin, and at one point the guy was hollering at him about the Bohemian Grove, which is one.
I didn't hear that. I did hear something on the NPR about he did raise a lot of questions about the facts of 9/11 and what just occurred to me after I heard about Clinton. I kept saying, is there something that is basic, has something ready to come out about that they are afraid is going to come out and they want to squash it? I know you don't believe in 9/11 as a conspiracy, anything to do with the government, and I know.
No, that's not true, Malin. That's not true. I recognize what I don't know, okay? And I am not, because I am incredibly rational, and that's just how I have to live my life, I'm not willing to say that George Bush put on a little black hat and little black boots and a little black coat and planted little black bombs all over the World Trade Center. I just won't do it.
Not him. He's too stupid to do that.
On the other hand, I don't think it's even a question anymore that these that the Bush administration had sufficient evidence with which to prevent.
Let it happen.
9/11. Yeah, these are there's lie hoppers and my hoppers, and I'm a high hopper. They helped it happen. They helped it happen through their depraved indifference to the well-being of the people in those buildings and in the Pentagon and on those airplanes.
Well, I know that his brother was involved in a security at that place, and it was turned off for quite some time, and the dogs were taken out. And there's too many things, I guess, if you've seen Loose Change, it just...
Oh, I've seen Loose Change, and it's...
I know that it sounds crazy, but, you know, with all the awful things that have happened, I just can't believe that something as crazy as this could have happened, you know?
Yeah, I do, and, the 9/11 topic is a tough one, and I don't spend a lot of time on it. There are radio shows out there that are 9/11 every day, all the time. And frankly, I think there's too much other stuff out there to get sidetracked single topic.
But we're past that point. You know, we've got to deal with things that are up today. But
I mean, I still want to know who really killed Kennedy. Okay.
No, I don't either.
I want to know.
Oh, you want to know? Well, yeah, but it won't make much difference at this point. You know.
No, but the only thing it might do is pull back the curtain on who the puppet masters have been for a long, long time. But a lot of us have well-grounded suspicions who those puppet masters are in the first place.
Yeah, I know.
The speech that John Kennedy was slated to deliver at the place he was on his way to when he was killed is telling.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah, I've read it.
It's
moving in the extreme. And it sort of gives you a little compass pointer toward why he might have been bumped off.
You don't think it was a racial thing? It was a political thing. I mean, it's strictly politics.
You ever seen The Godfather, Malin?
No, I didn't see that movie.
Well, there's a line in there where the Abe Vigoda character, after he's been caught trying to kill Michael Corleone, and he's being taken off to be killed himself, says, "Tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business." Well, Malin, that's what we're dealing with here. It was only business.
The only part I ever remember seeing was that flipping up the bed cover and seeing the horse on the
But that's
the only thing I remember on the preview or something. Once.
But that's the point here. It's only business, whether it's Kennedy or the Iraq War or anything that massively benefits the military-industrial complex in this country. And remember, that's not some hippie phrase. That was coined by, Dwight D. Eisenhower. All you got to do is...
Well, I personally think that it had something to do with J. Edgar Hoover, but that's just my feeling on it, you know.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is I want to know these things. I'd love to have everything answered about 9/11. Unfortunately, they shipped off the rubble of 9/11, and it's probably part of a soup can coming back to America now. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, we can piece together blown up airliners that get blown up at 40,000 feet and fall into the ocean. We can piece those together in a hangar.
But they couldn't take pieces of the World Trade Center.
But they couldn't do it with the World Trade Center, and that pisses me off.
Yeah, make sure that got shipped to China real quick.
Yeah. So, I understand the misgivings of the 9/11 truthers. I'm just not going to get on board with them because I have to maintain some degree of rationality.
And some neutrality to some degree, too, so that you can accept people's ideas. Okay, that's about all I had to just mainly concerned about the trade, how the trade works.
Sure, sure. And you know,
it's skewed by a great deal by the very wealthy in this country buy a lot of things, and it makes it look like everybody's buying a lot of things.
Yeah, it's not like a bell curve on an exam in freshman English or something where, you know, most of the people get a C, two people get a D, and one person gets an F, and one person gets an A, and two people get a B. No, it's not all fat in the middle like a bell curve. This is all skinny in the middle, where it's a lot of, and it's what I was told all my life growing up, Malin, that the Republicans are hell-bent on creating a two-class society that is nothing but very, very rich and very, very few and very, very poor and very, very many. And so far, everything that I see bears that out.
Yeah. I wanted to also just echo the feeling that who's that wonderful girl that has a wonderful laugh? She calls from Kate.
Yeah.
She has the same feeling. I couldn't help but agree with her 100% about the fact that I have this awful feeling that something is hanging over me at this point, and I feel as though something terrible is going to happen very soon. And
there's nothing irrational.
Feeling that I have.
There's nothing irrational in a feeling like that. I mean, we've got all the evidence in the world to point to the fact that there is something, you know, that something wicked this way comes, because Iran alone is enough to generate that feeling. Because what's going to happen? I mean, what did oil close at today per barrel? $93, $94 a barrel?
Something, yeah.
Yeah,
and the dollar is like $1.44 or something like that, 144 euros or something.
Yeah, and see, these we're going to look back, and these are going to $93 a barrel oil. Once we start the war with Iran, $93 a barrel oil is going to be the good old days, Malin. You know what I mean?
Well, then I can't bring the old Buick out, can I?
No, I don't think so. but you
go 2 miles.
You know, 144 euros to the buck. Is gonna those are gonna be the good old days too, because what happens when we start unleashing hell and damnation on that nation that has not raised so much as a finger against us? Well, there's gonna be a lot of stuff comes to a grinding halt in this country.
Let's not forget, I think Putin thinks that George Bush is an absolute joke. He is not going to listen to him. He just takes his stuff one ear and out the other. That's what I think. And that's, I'm not going to go on anymore tonight, so I'll give somebody else a chance to talk to you.
Well, no worries, Malin. Anytime.
It's nice to just voice my opinion and get something back from you, so I don't feel like I'm the only one thinking all this.
That's so much a part of what we do, Malin, because I don't want people feeling like they're alone. I don't want people feeling like they're disconnected. Because we're not. We have, you know, through the miracle of the internet.
I can't talk to my parents about any of this stuff because they act like I'm nuts. You know, they go, "How can you not respect the president? Oh, nothing like this could ever happen in the United States." You know, blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, I know very well what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah. And Thanksgiving is coming, unfortunately.
Oh Lord, I don't know that.
I'll have to sew my mouth shut.
Yeah, just keep it full of turkey and mashed potatoes, and you can't
get the mashed potatoes with a straw or something.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, let the tryptophan and the turkey kick in and knock you out, and just hope for the best.
Yes. Okay, Bob. Nice.
Take care, Malin. Good to talk to you, my friend. Bye now. What Malin said about Vladimir Putin not having any respect for George Bush is 100% correct. He knows, and among other things, he knows that George Bush is, you know, crazier than a sprayed roach. There's that phrase again. We're dealing with insane, evil, mean, stupid people. The other thing that Vladimir Putin understands is that if we start a hot war with Iran, it inures to Russia's benefit. And while, given the culture that he grew up in, Vladimir Putin probably doesn't know the story of Brer Rabbit and the Briar Patch, there's probably some Slavic equivalent. Because Putin appears to understand that whatever it is you want George Bush to do, you tell him in the strongest possible terms not to do the other one. Hence, you know, oh, just don't throw me in that old briar patch, please. Now, George, don't you start bombing Iran now. Because when the United States does that, Russia's rails are greased. And Russia, frankly, has been playing the great game in that region. And if you don't know the historical reference to the great game, it has to do with what British and Russian diplomats used to refer to their constant diplomatic and military pressures in that region of the world. They called it the Great Game. We're fairly new to the Great Game. They are past masters. And it would be good for Russia if we started bombing Iran. And Vladimir Putin, who is a former practitioner of torture, a former leader of the KGB, an old-line, hard-line Soviet, unreconstructed, who dreams of consolidating oligarchic power in himself, knows that he would have a door swung wide open into control of the flow of Iranian oil if he can just get George Bush to start the bombs falling. That's why all these so-called world leaders are so ever-loving dangerous. Because, see, for Vladimir Putin, it's Ocetra caviar on toast points Monday through Friday and twice on Sunday, regardless of whether the bombs fall. And no matter how many awful things happen to the Russian people, Vladimir Putin's still going to have the Ocetra caviar on toast points Monday through Saturday and twice on Sunday. And it's the same thing for the Bush family. And all, you know, and whether it's the leadership of Iran or the thugs who are running the government in Iraq, whether it's Gordon Hoosis in the United Kingdom, they all get up to a bright, sunshiny world every day, regardless of what happens. It's the people who go to the greengrocers every day that are going to suffer. My God, I was in the grocery store the other day, and I realized it was when Susan in Portland told me how much gasoline was out there. Gasoline is roughly a price equivalent to milk now. Let that settle in. What Malin said about a false economic picture is ever so true. Our economy is a house of cards. It's a flim-flam game. It's a grift. Anybody who ever reads the fine print of their credit cards and realizes how long they're going to spend paying off the new 72-inch wall screen television would not be interested in buying it if they truly understood. But we don't read. We don't pay attention. We're bombarded day in and day out on the TV and the radio, the commercial radio. We're bombarded with pop-up ads, the ones that slip through past the pop-up blocker on our computer screens, with everything under the sun telling us what piss-poor examples of the human race we are because of what we don't have. And never for a moment stopping to appreciate what we do. Never stopping to appreciate having each other. Never stopping to appreciate the fact that we can drive up the road to the grocery store and get a tomato that was grown in God knows where, or a $2 head of lettuce. You know, and it's so funny. We talked about raising the wages of the people picking the lint. Oh, well, you know, the American people wouldn't want to pay that. You know, if we gave a quarter an hour raise to the people who pick our lettuce and our tomatoes. But lo and behold, because all the evil, crazy people with the power in their hands keep on talking about who's going to kill who when, the price of oil keeps going up. And suddenly, we're paying more for that head of lettuce than we would have been paying a while back, just giving a raise to the working people, who would have turned around and used it to buy the 72-inch wall-screen TV. We're upside down, backwards, and sideways, and the Vorpal blade goes snicker-snack. Oh, America, my beamish boy. Look what you have done. Good God. And see, we haven't even gotten to the fun part of Mike Huckstorby yet. Let's finish Mike Huckstorby before we finish the hour. Now, let's see. Let's back up just a shade. Where were we, Mike?
Aiming it at Israel, are taking action into Iraq. The destabilization of the oil market that would cause, the collapse of the economy, and the instability to world peace is simply a price too high to pay. So whatever it takes to make sure they can't do it.
Does this dumbass not understand that he is the threat? He is the instability to world peace? That all of this saber-rattling is what's driving the oil prices up? Gee, you gotta kinda wonder what Mike Huckstorby's portfolio looks like. How much Exxon stock you got there, buddy?
That's what we have to be willing to,
all right,
to do.
Spell out whatever it takes. Give us the range of options in your mind that might be necessary.
Well, I think the president's right to start with trying to bankrupt them before we bomb them.
Yeah, because, you know, economically desperate people, they always do the rational thing, don't they? A bankrupted country where people can't get food or fuel or keep their babies warm in the winter, they're going to be extra super good double plus rational when it comes to questions of, you know, they're attacking us with money and we have no way to defend ourselves. Whatever shall we do? These unilateral sanctions and so, what a bunch of jackassed stupidness. You want to see somebody desperate? Look in the eyes of a mother whose baby has just died of malnutrition in her arms. You want to see an irrational lashing out? Dab the tears away from a father who has just buried his only begotten son, frozen to death in a hard winter. Oh, but see, it's a smart thing George Bush has done to take people to the absolute desperate brink of despair and misery.
That's a good way to start.
Don't you just hate him?
But we have to be prepared to take, again, whatever action. And I don't want to go through every possible scenario.
Oh, say it, you bloodthirsty right-wing, uber-Southern Baptist, baby-killing sleazebag. Say that you want to nuke Iran. Just say it. We know it. We can see it. It's tattooed on the back of your neck, you freak.
And then to say that that would mean just what it says, whatever it takes.
But if it requires...
You know, this isn't Mr. Mom, where he shows up at the door with the goggles and the chainsaw and says to Martin Mull, "You want a beer? It's 7:30 in the morning. Scotch? Ah, I see you're rewiring the house. 110? 110, 115, whatever it takes." This ain't that. These fools are sitting here talking about the impact on the lives of millions upon millions of people, ultimately on their own countrymen, and they're sitting there with a grin like a fox eating poop out of a wire brush talking about it. You can almost see the blood dripping down the corners of their mouths. And they sort of, with the finger in the mouth, and, oh, God, it's good.
To destroy some sort of deep underground nuclear facility, a nuclear, a tactical nuclear device on the part of the U.S., would you be willing to go that far?
Well, once again, Wolf, let's not try to, you know, tip the hand of what might have to be done, but let's also not be coy and not be the least bit reticent to say that it would be unacceptable, totally unacceptable, to ever allow Iran to have nuclear weaponry, given the length.
To allow Iran to have nuclear weaponry, you racist SOB Mike Huckabee. You absolutely disgusting, religiously insane, bigoted, racist pig. To allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. You know what? I don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. I don't want Iran to feel like it needs a nuclear weapon. Unfortunately, we need to have a little chat with our bosom buddies, the Israelis, about the 400 warheads they've got in their arsenal so that Iran won't feel like they need a nuclear weapon. While we're at it, we can have a chat with the religious fundamentalists who are crazy out of their flipping minds in Pakistan and maybe have another revisit that whole mangoes for nukes treaty with India. People want nukes because other countries have nukes. And, you know, in 1945, long about August, Japan proved that not having a nuke is a great way to get nuked. On the other hand, in the last few years, North Korea has proven that if you want to not be nuked, having a nuke is a good way to stop it. Because if you can just get, you know, the threat of, I can get one off, somebody's going to glow, has real meaning. But not to this freak who doesn't, who and he calls himself a follower of Christ Jesus. What does I say, love your enemies? Would Mike Huckabee's head explode on television and just, like, get little brain specks all over the camera lens and stuff if he actually tried to put into practice the teachings of Christ Jesus? I say, love your enemies as yourself. That's a little bit hard. Easier to read than it is to live, isn't it, Mike?
Which the tone and the direction of this regime.
What would you
handle
do?
This?
Do you believe the Bush administration made a mistake in going after Saddam Hussein, launching the invasion back in 2003, knowing everything you know right now, including the fact that no weapons of mass destruction?
Okay, you're hearing this out of the question, right? Was that a mistake? Even knowing that there were no weapons of mass destruction, you thought I was kidding about this guy being a moron and insane. No, no, no. He's going to prove it to you now.
Have been found.
Well, you know, sometimes people say we've never found the weapons. Just because we haven't found them doesn't mean they didn't exist. We haven't found Jimmy Hoffa either, but...
Ow! He justifies the death of in excess of 3,800 American military men and women by saying, well, we haven't found Jimmy Hoffa either, but that doesn't mean he's not buried in Giant Stadium in the Meadowlands. Help me. I'm gonna back this up just a second, because I don't want you to think that, you know, maybe I talked over him and you missed something. No, no.
Iran to have nuclear weaponry, given the language, the tone, and the direction of this regime.
What would
you handle this?
Do you believe the Bush administration made a mistake in going after Saddam Hussein, launching the invasion back in 2003, knowing everything you know right now, including the fact that no weapons of mass destruction have been found?
Well, you know, sometimes people say we've never found the weapons. Just because we haven't found them doesn't mean they didn't exist. We haven't found Jimmy Hoffa either, but we know he exists. That's always the way that we're going to try to frame this sometimes, is that, well, we didn't find them. But, you know, he was the one who said that he had them. He has used them in the past. It's easy to second guess what we should have done. Frankly, that's no longer a good option for us, other than for...
Just rewrite the history. And while we're at it, the South won the Civil War. The Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. He's the one who said he had them. He used them before. Gee, Mike, were you busy working on your covenant marriage there, you fundamentalist Goomba? When Saddam was turning all over all the documents and standing up and telling the entire world, look, I don't have any. And then the inspectors went into Iraq and said, hey, George, he ain't got any. I mean, they're just not here. And we started the war with them anyway. Yeah, I guess he was at church or something, Mike Huckstery.
Or us to try to make sure that in the future we have the very best intelligence before we ever commit boots on the ground. But what we have to always remember is that if he had failed to take action, weapons of mass destruction had been deployed, killing thousands, if not millions of people. Then the other question would have been, why didn't we do something?
And, you know, if butts were nuts and ands were candy, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. And, you know, there's a war on Christmas. Did you hear that? I heard that. If we hadn't gone to war against Iraq, who didn't have weapons of mass destruction, they would have used the weapons of mass destruction that they didn't have, and then we'd be asking, why didn't we go to war with them? Wow. I need medicine. Red pill, blue pill, you know, Alice, you pick. Because it ain't working for me. My God, there'll be pork in the treetops come morning, Mike Huckstery. Moron? Evil? Crazy? Stupid? You know, there's a whole panoply of things that these right-wing, terror-devouring, blood-lusting Republicans are. I just haven't figured out what it is. I mean, are they terror-loving idiots or evil geniuses? Or every time we think we've got them nailed down, they turn out to be something different. But it's never a good thing that they are.
So second-guessing, that's the easiest job in the world. People run for president, so they make tough decisions. Sometimes they're not the best ones, but hopefully
Yeah, sometimes they're not the best ones, Mike. Enough of you, you freak. Because we could sure count on you to make the best decisions, couldn't we? Out of their ever-loving minds. You remember when Ronnie Reagan ran for president? And he said, Will, Nancy, what I want to know is, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? I guess that one's sort of not available for the Republicans right now, is it? Because who, apart from these guys who throw $10 million parties and fly Aerosmith in on the company jet, who else can say that life is really going better for them? And, of course, his life is going better because he stole money from the American taxpayers to throw the party. And in return, he gave our soldiers bulletproof armor that wasn't bulletproof and wasn't armor. To the phones we go. Hey, who have I got?
Bob, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
How you doing? From D.C., of course.
Yeah, I'm you know, just struggling with reality, you know, nothing.
Yeah, well, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club, my friend. You know, yesterday, I've mentioned on the show before how relieved I am that Putin is stepping into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Chinese and you have Venezuela. It's better to have a couple of bullies in the schoolyard than one.
Yeah.
You know, the more I think about it, is the more relieved I am, because you have to understand, our dear decider is a bully.
Yeah, not a very sharp one either.
Yeah, and a bully to me is essentially a coward, you know.
Yeah.
If you, you know, if you punch a bully in the nose, he's going to cry like a little you-know-what.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I have faith, as much rhetoric they're talking about Iran, it's not going to happen, because Vladimir Putin already threw the gauntlet down and said an attack on Iran is an attack on Russia.
Yeah, but see, I think, like I said, Kevin, I think that is him playing George Bush like a worn-out fiddle. He knows that the one thing you want to do with George Bush, if you want him to do something, is to tell him not to. Because don't think for a minute that Russia wouldn't like to have preeminence in the world. The only way that happens is to get us out of the way.
Oh yeah, and you know, and I think, well, you're absolutely right. It's just I don't know. Maybe call me stupid. Call me, I guess, a term that I like to use, willfully ignorant. But there must be somewhere along the line, within the deep bowels of the Bush administration, of one voice of reason, as right-wing as it may be, saying, I think we ought to leave, you know, Iran alone.
I think those voices are there, Kevin, but they're largely being drowned out. I mean, we read stories about people in the Pentagon saying, no, please, for the love of God, no. And yet we've still got George Bush walking out into the Rose Garden, or where the heck ever, last week, talking about, World War III. There are just things that presidents ought not talk about. It's George Bush talking about World War III is the equivalent of the old bedtime for Bonzo Ray Gun sitting there behind a mic that was open, and he didn't realize he was broadcasting, saying, we have just declared the Soviet Union illegal, and the missiles fly in 5 minutes. You remember that, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a kid.
There's some stuff you just don't talk about.
Yeah. But this is a similar thing with, all of us in this community here are history buffs in head-on community.
Yeah.
You know, Genghis Khan, when he was about to attack Japan. Or not Genghis Khan, Kublai Khan.
Yeah, Kublai Khan, yeah, the great Khan.
When he wanted to invade Japan, and basically his advisors were saying, no Mongols should go where the horses can't ride. We're mm-hmm. not sailors. We're good horsemen.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and he went, and it's going to be one of those situations like the Spanish Armada where okay, the cost itself to the American people, we're not going to feel it for years to come. It's going to slowly hemorrhage up.
I don't know if I agree with you there, Kevin, because when the bombs start falling on Iran and oil goes to $200 a barrel, we're going to feel that pretty quick.
Those are things...
Because that means suddenly the gallon of milk and the gallon of milk that's $4 now is going to be $8. And the tire that it takes petroleum products to make that's $125 now is going to be $250.
Yeah.
The gasoline itself is going to be $8 a gallon.
Well, the thing is, I think if American people are smart, they need to start adjusting their lifestyle. A bit of a personal thing, which I'm doing, I'm basically in the process of moving back to New York. So it's going to be Kevin from New York, not Kevin from D.C.
Oh, cool. Are you going to Brooklyn?
Yeah, and because I just don't want to contribute anymore to this economy. I plan on getting rid of my car and, you know, taking the subway and, you know, because I've always been wanting to transition into teaching anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's what are you prepared to sacrifice?
Oh, I know. And that idea of prioritizing ahead of time makes a hell of a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, we do little things around here. We've converted to compact fluorescent bulbs, and frankly, I make all our bread now. It's better for us. It tastes better, and frankly, I think it's a better idea. We don't go anywhere unless it's absolutely necessary. And when we go somewhere, we try to consolidate the trip into getting everything done that we can possibly get done. I think there are Americans who are making those choices. People trying to do the right thing, getting out of big gas guzzlers. I've still got a gas guzzler, but that's because when we get in the car to go somewhere, I've got to put eight human beings into an automobile, and frankly, they don't make a Prius that'll hold eight people.
Yeah, well, I say urban living, and you know, this is, you know, what I'm trying to convince, you know, certain individuals that are close to me. Maybe the best thing, because one of the things, you know, I've had my issues with Bloomberg, our mayor, you know, in the past, but he's trying to implement projects where, you know, food is grown urban farming, which has really taken root in New York. And, you know, there is, growing your tomatoes and stuff like that. And he wants to implement, and he suggested that on every city-owned building there will be food grown.
There's common sense in that. And you know, I'm talking with my son-in-law. We're already planning next spring's garden, and it's going to be a monster.
Yeah, and I'm thinking along those, you know, lines too, as far as my living situation here. You know, once I fully get to Brooklyn, probably, because I'm going to be living in the house I grew up in, which is my mother's brownstone.
Mm-hmm.
And since the roof is flat, I can get like one of those boxes and get dirt and start planting tomatoes on the rooftop.
Oh, that kind of gardening is, it's amazingly good. And you can raise a ton of stuff in a very, very small space.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, once I get what you and I talked about going, that I want to start implementing, you know, within the urban community, the black community and stuff like that. Because, you know, one of the issues I see with us, especially young urban youth, is that we waste a lot. We really do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the, I guess, for lack of a better term, I don't know, one of those hidden secrets is that we don't realize what we have as a community, and we waste a lot of stuff. You know, Harlem, 30 years ago, you could get a brownstone for, like, literally $5,000. Now they're going for $1 million.
Mm-hmm. It's been gentrified.
Yeah, that's how, what's his name, Zuckerman, who you'll see on the McLaughlin Group,
mm-hmm.
became a billionaire. He was buying those houses out left and right in those buildings. Because, you know, him with U.S. News and World Reports is just a front. You know, his real money is in Boston properties. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, I look forward to sort of reports from the field as you do move back, Kevin. And, you know, no offense, but don't put too much hope in George Bush taking seriously any kind of a threat from Vladimir Putin, because in the cowboy mindset, that's just somebody knocking the chip off his shoulder. That means we got to fight now.
Yeah, but it's not just one threat, it's multiple threats. You know, the Chinese, and, you know, not to mention, you have a whole third world, you know, a whole world below the equator, which Lou Dobbs and Pat Buchanan so fares, which is just dying to rip apart, you know, his base. They will love to rip his base apart. And one thing about the Bushes, once they lose their base, they're gone.
Oh, never assume they're gone, Kevin. Never assume they're gone.
They'll morph into something else, but
mark my words. What is it? It's 5 years from now. Less than 5 years from now, you're going to be seeing signs that say Jeb 12. I promise. If I was
already
a betting man,
I've already seen it in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, sure you have. That the back in back in the 2004 Republican National NaziCon. They were very studiously avoided on orders, but a couple of times they snuck onto the camera screen. People were flashing signs that said Jeb 08. The Bush family is not going to be happy until they can say that they are the American dynasty, because they're so sick and so twisted, Kevin, that everything's a croquet game. If you ever read any of the history of this miserable family that's never earned an honest living in its existence, you'll find that, I mean, they go at each other tooth and toenails over a badminton game.
Oh yeah.
Everything's a game to them, and everything's about winning.
Oh yeah. Well, what the gentleman you spoke with last night, comparing them to the Claudian family and I Claudius, you know, he hit it right on the head with this family.
Yeah,
he really did.
Yeah, that's them, and they want to be the American Caesars. They truly, truly do.
Yeah. Well, they want to change what we know as president to the Bush.
Yeah.
Like the Caesar, went from being a name to a
Hail Bush.
Town. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's going to be the Bush of America.
Yeah,
you know. So you know.
I'm sorry. That's the kind of thing that gives me little nightmares, Kevin.
Yeah, well, it gives me nightmares too. And you know, one day, hopefully, you and I could talk in private. I could tell you what kind of nightmares. Anyway, Bob, that's all I have to say for tonight. I gotta run. Okay.
Okay. Take care, Kevin. Good hearing from you, my friend.
Okay. Good. Bye.
Bye now. Okay, it's a little past news time, so we will go to the news. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to the voice that you make possible. Independent media for liberal America. You know how to reach the program, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-5453. We'll be back after the news. I'm Bob Kincaid.
They crossed over the border the hour before dawn, moving in lines through the day. Most of our planes were destroyed on the ground where they lay. Waiting for orders we held in the wood. Word from the front never came. By evening the sound of the gunfire was miles away. Softly we move through the shadows, slip away through the trees, crossing the lines in the mists and the fields, on our hands and our knees. And all that I ever was able to see, the fire in the air, glowing red, silhouetting the smoke on the breeze. All summer they drove us back through the Ukraine. Smolensk and Vyazma soon fell. By autumn we stood with our backs to the town of Orel.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House pick for Attorney General Michael Mukasey told the Senate Judiciary Committee today that an interrogation technique known as waterboarding is a, quote, repugnant practice, but stopped short of saying whether it violates U.S. law banning torture. Three suspected Hamas militants were killed in an Israeli airstrike today in southern Gaza. Hamas militants continue to fire rockets across the border into Israel. Today's strike on Gaza was made in retaliation for repeated Hamas-led attacks. That's according to an Israeli spokesman. For the first time in nearly a decade, the yearly budget for U.S. intelligence was made public, $43.5 billion spent this year. The disclosure complies with a law passed by Congress last year. No breakdown in the spending was provided. Department officials say that information remains classified for reasons of national security. Congressional Democrats are deciding whether or not to approve between $50 and $70 billion for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The White House wants $196 billion, but there's no sign that President Bush will obtain even half of that requested amount. The Pentagon says there were fewer U.S. military fatalities this month than there have been for the last 2 years. As of today, the U.S. troop death total for the month of October stands at 37. The Iraqi parliament approved draft legislation lifting immunity from prosecution for foreign security companies, including Blackwater USA. That legislation is expected to easily pass into law, which could pose problems for those security guards already on the job and for the companies who employ them. Near Islamabad, Pakistan, 7 people were killed today in a suicide bomb blast about 1/4 mile from the offices of President General Musharraf. 3 police officers and 4 civilians were killed. President Bush has nominated a new Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Retired Army Lieutenant General James Peak will be the first doctor and the first general to serve as Veterans Secretary. His nomination, of course, must be first endorsed by Congress. King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia is in the middle of a controversial visit to London, England. The king was greeted by Queen Elizabeth, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown, and a host of other British dignitaries. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at science and business news just ahead. First, this message.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher, and you tell her you're too tired to look for it. I know. You're very good at keeping a secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A large new study found no sign that vitamin D lowers the overall risk of dying from cancer, injecting a note of caution to the latest vitamin craze. The exception, people with more vitamin D in their blood, did have a significantly lower risk of death from colorectal cancer, supporting earlier findings. Getting enough of the so-called sunshine vitamin is vital for strong bones. The skin makes it from ultraviolet rays. Use of cholesterol and blood pressure drugs increasing faster for young people than the elderly. That's according to an industry report. The U.S. study indicates there are higher rates of obesity, and doctors are becoming more aggressive with treatment for the young. In business, the Federal Reserve begins meetings today. Analysts expecting the board to reduce interest rates for a second time. Doing so would probably mean an increase in the price of oil, which exceeded $93 a barrel yesterday. Merrill Lynch CEO Stan O'Neill no longer at the company helm. His immediate retirement was announced by the company today. They'll now search for his replacement. Light sweet crude trading at $90.38 a barrel. Gold at $787.80 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 77 points at 13,792. The NASDAQ flat, S&P 500 down 10 points at 1531. And there's always more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, here we go. One more hour. Well, okay, 45 more minutes. Heck, I throw the news in when I feel like it. Look, you know, we're not beholden to some automation time clock at some 20-watt night timer in busted knuckle. We'll get to the news as soon as we're done. As soon as we're done with the most important part of the program, and that's talking to the people who want to engage in real, live, honest to God conversation. You want to engage in some real, live, honest to God conversation? I should hope by now you know the phone number, 877, the numeral 4, head on, 877-443-2366. Or if you want to save us a buck, trust me, it adds up over time. I see the monthly bills. 304-658-5453 is the direct dial number. Either one rings in the same place, and I'll push the little magic button, put you on hold, and come to you as quick as I possibly can. How's that for fair? Email, you know, I don't give out the email address as much as I probably ought to. It's Bob, B-O-B, at headonradio.com. And, you know, what I don't respond to on air, I will do everything in my power if it calls for a response to respond to off air. Because I'm behind this computer probably more than is good for me. I should probably seek therapy. It probably rises to the level of an addiction or something. I might need a program. But, you know, that's how it is. And a quick update, just to let you know. We are still making our way toward our October goal. We are at the end of October tomorrow. And we're getting close to our October goal, and we're still in a $1,000 hole from September. And trust me, those holes get deeper. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, we want to grow here. We want to make more things happen. I've told you a million times, if I've mentioned it once, that we have among this happy little band some of the smartest computer people you'd ever want to meet. And plans are already being laid for building the perfect beast, as the saying goes, or the song goes. Building a monster computer that will handle all the audio and streaming needs that we need to start maybe doing video. Not just pre-recorded, but live. Live streaming video. I've had conversations with Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, who handles all of our audio streaming, about setting up a video stream that you guys could access as well. Why you'd want to see my big pink turtley face, I don't know, but apparently it's the big happening thing that the hep neato cats are doing. But no, that's where we're going. And frankly, a video could be fun if we go there. But again, costs a bunch of money. And it's a computer, it's a camera, it's a video mixer for the live stuff and for the stuff that we'll put up afterward. And that does not happen when we're in $1,000 holes. It's just that simple. So please keep it, if you can. If you haven't yet for the month, please do. If you can, we appreciate it more than you could possibly know. Because it enables all of this to happen, whether it's my show or being able to produce Strictly Confidential or the Cup of Joe show or with his return in a little less than a week now, John Fox and All Foxed Up moving to a slot immediately following the Cup of Joe radio show at midnight Eastern Time. 9 p.m. Pacific. We're growing all the time. If you haven't heard Rick's Place running on the weekends with our good friend, horn psychologist Rick Goodner, you have missed out on a treat. If you don't kick back, now, personally, I listen to the intro every week for our dear friend Billy Shears, Night Sounds, and there's this line about kick back and have a glass of wine. Well, I'm not a wine guy. I'm a beer guy. But I don't kick back and have a beer anyway because I'm running the program. But, you know, this bigotry against us beer drinkers has simply got to end. Okay, there's enough of that. But if you haven't kicked back and just relaxed and let it all go away for a little bit, the stuff that makes your eyeballs ache, makes your brains feel like they're coming out of your ears, and just sat back and dug the tunes brought to you masterfully by our good friend Billy Shears, then you've missed out on a lot of fun. That's 9 p.m. on Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. And there's all kinds of stuff on the way. There are other shows in, as they say in Hollywood land, in development. This is not a static operation. This is something that will grow and grow and grow as long as you want it to grow. We did not meet, there's another goal that we didn't meet. I had hoped, and I know, my sixth grade teacher who said, it is better to aim high and miss than to aim low and hit. So I aimed pretty high when we came on the air a little more than 2 years ago. I said that on October 24th, 2005, when this network incarnated as an internet radio operation came on board, I set as a goal having 24 hours a day of live liberal programming 7 days a week. We didn't quite make it. Part of that is because Agnes and I sort of ran out of gas, because there's only so many hours in a day that one soul can be behind the board. But we are developing pre-recorded programs. We are adding programs. Rick's Place is just the latest addition. We're talking about more music programming coming. To the extent that it is humanly possible, this little band of brothers and sisters, from the chat rooms to the blogs to the production to the folks that get behind the microphone to the folks who make what happens behind the microphones happen, we're willing, both flesh and spirit are willing, but we can't go just a heck of a lot farther than what we're doing right now as long as the wallet remains weak. So that's just all there is to it. I hope between now and the end of November we can crawl out of the September hole too. That's not me getting all Oral Roberts and Jesus is going to call me home. It's just a fact. Whether it's Mark Levine or Peter Godbold or Joe or John or me or Guy or Dr. Bill, we'll all be here till the lights go off, and the lights aren't going off anytime soon. But we want to do more. We want so badly to do more. We want to do video. We want to expand the schedule. We want to develop young talent so that there will be more liberal talkers down the road and someone who will pick up the flag when it falls from one of our hands. We want to do so very much. And the question is basically a question of how much you guys want. Let me go to the phones and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
Bob, this is Phil in Daytona Beach.
Hey, Phil, how are you? I loved your email today.
Oh, good. That's why I was calling. I was hoping that perhaps at some point, if you want, we could discuss it, especially since it relates to what you're talking about right now.
Yeah.
We're talking about. God, I hope the listeners didn't all just bail out because I'm back on it.
Oh, no, nobody. No. Nobody. Nobody ran away, Phil.
Oh, man. You know, well, we just have to keep at it. In our country, I can't stress enough that it's been taken. These damn political parties they've been infiltrated. They've been taken. The media ascribing to is our enemy. And damn it, people, you'd be amazed how you can still get along in life, Bob, without cable television.
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised because I do a pretty good job of it myself, Phil. Like I said, I saw more television this past weekend than I've seen in 6 months. And, you know, as soon as I figured out nothing had changed, I just walked out of the room again.
Yes. And I know you're, you know, you personally, but I meant that, what's the word, generically. We really have to make, what we're doing is I know every, you know, so many of us are giving it our all and then some, but when I say we, I'm referring to we as in respect to we the people as a whole have not been doing enough to stop this total sell off and sell out.
Phil, I don't necessarily think that we're not doing enough. Because I know, as referenced last night, I know how much so many people are doing.
No, that's what I just tried to clarify. I meant
yeah.
I meant we the people as a whole. I just tried to clarify that before I said those words or prefaced it. I didn't mean that those of us who are giving it our all and then some, which, you know, yourself and the ones you were just about to rattle off. About we the people as a whole are not doing enough because the proof is in the pudding. We haven't stopped this madness, and so we need more of the we the people who haven't been doing enough to catch up with us, you know. And we might have to like slow down our step and reach a hand back.
I understand. I understand everything you're talking about, Phil.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. But there are questions that must, I think, be asked in fairness.
Yes.
The guy and his wife, who are working between them five jobs.
Yes.
Trying to feed children. Who come home and have 2 or 3 hours before maybe they have to get 4 or 5 hours of sleep before they get up and go to work again. And all in the world they want to do is sit in front of the television and make it go away for a few minutes. Or they want to go for a walk with their kids. I don't think it is unrealistic for us to engage in a discussion about what we want from those people. What more do they have to give? They're carrying and there are millions like them, Phil. Millions who are carrying a nation on their very backs. What can we ask of them?
It ain't. I'm talking about the ones who are available and haven't been stepping up, and there's plenty of them too, Bob. You know, we live in the. I live in the. There's 67 counties in Florida.
Right.
And Volusia County has the lowest wages in the whole, out of all 60, you know, believe you me, I know this situation. And there are people that are not in that situation and can do something more, you know, and you'd be surprised. It's some of the people that are working the two jobs. Still are the ones, you know, out there doing something, but ways that, and I'm talking about we the people as a whole, Bob.
No,
there are ways that we the people can do more, and I'm not talking about those of us who are doing all we can and then some. I'm talking about those. I'm talking about the ones who haven't stepped up as much as they can, and for our own selfish reasons we have to get them engaged, you know what I mean, Bob? Because if we don't, get them engaged to the point of stopping this madness, we all go down. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And what I want to engage on here, Phil, is the necessity of doing some of the stuff you've talked about in previous phone calls.
Yes.
Of talking to people in grocery store lines, across gas pumps, at the post office, at the Jiffy Lube, what that kind of thing. Not getting in their face, not being confrontational, but planting seeds.
Planting seeds,
because the thing. The other thing that I have to acknowledge, at least in my own head, is that because this occupation touches such a relatively small number of American families, we're going to be hard pressed to make people care about it until such time as it begins to touch them. What I mean by that is that, well, it's NIMBY, okay? It's not in my backyard.
Yes.
The people who are involved in the anti-war, anti-occupation effort, people like you, people like me, to the extent that I'm involved because of just sitting here three hours a night, we're predisposed to be involved in it because we understand on an almost subcellular level how evil this war in every facet is, because we have an understanding of history, of cultural context, of social structure, and we understand, I don't know, call it karma, we understand karmically what happens to a country that starts a war with another country that has not engaged in aggression against it. It just brings all kinds of bad juju on, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
We were predisposed to understand that. And because we move in circles with other people who are predisposed to understand that, we are absolutely flabbergasted by people who just want to sit down and watch the damn race on Sunday.
Yes.
So that colors our comprehension of them.
But I hear you. But the fact remains, in order to stop this machine, and this occupation of Iraq affects everybody in this country one way or another, and more and more negatively affected than but just the fact that it's keeping these bastards in power for the last 8 years or whatever it is. You know, it there are many, many ties that we can connect the dots for these people who don't have their own kids over there.
Sure.
You know, and
I guess what I'm trying to do, Phil, is to try to get, and I'm not lecturing at you. I hope you don't think I am, because this is the kind of stuff that I work through in my own head. You know, when Agnes looks at me sometimes and just says, "Will you shut up?" Yeah, you know, because I go at this all the time. I think about it all the time. I wonder why the American people are willing to tolerate this evil and this foolishness and this stupidity, Phil.
Yeah.
And I've come down to some basic conclusions. One, I have to take into account that there is 28% of the electorate that, if they saw George Bush gunning down little children on Pennsylvania Avenue, would swear he was doing them a favor by sending them to Jesus. Okay,
yeah.
That's 28% of the electorate. That's a whole bunch of millions of Americans. Okay, there is another segment of the American population that desperately, much like children clapping for Tinkerbell at Peter Pan so that she won't die, think that if they just believe their country is good, it will be good. And they are self-deluding. Those people are not going to get in the streets, and those people are not going to throw the SOBs out until it begins to personally affect their ability to live their daily lives.
You know, Bob...
And some of those things we have no control over, Phil.
Yes, but here's the thing. We have to... this is going to go on, man. This, and you were talking about it earlier. No, wait a minute. It was Guy on the rebroadcast that this has all been part of a plan. I think today's rebroadcast was the one where he went over Naomi Wolf's book about fascism, you know, and how we're pretty much in it. These guys are not going to stop. The only way they have to be stopped, and for those of us, I mean, you know, we're outnumbered, we're outgunned, we're up against all these things you're talking about, but the reality of it still remains that it's going to be up to us to stop them. Nobody's going to do it for them, and we have to
continue to be there, Phil.
Yes, but we also have to bring more into our numbers because I know what you're saying, Bob, that, you know, the 28% that will defend Bush, you know, they'll jump off the state building if Bush tells them to, you know. I mean, you know, I know what you mean there, but we have 300 million people, man. They're the people power. We have the power if you want to talk about
probably the single greatest untapped resource.
Yes.
It's on college campuses, Phil.
Yes.
And they're not going to move until they begin to feel personally threatened. That is the draft.
Well, no, it's not only the draft. That's what I'm trying to say. This occupation of Iraq is in the Middle East, this whole thing, you know, the whole privatization and sell-off of our damn country and jobs, and Halliburton's already moving to Dubai, and Cheney's been dumping his U.S. dollars for euros for the past couple of years. You know, China, we're talking about how the Chinese are not, you know, got lead in the toys or whatever. I mean, we're missing it, man. These guys are the U.S. jobs are gone. You know, all this, it's all related, I think.
Yes,
Bob.
It is.
We have to be able to connect the dots for these people and not just make it an issue of Iraq. You know, we got to connect the dots, you know, that this whole thing, we've got to educate them even more and show them and walk it through it. And we were, Kathy just walked in with the Code Pink, Saturday at the Orlando March, and we had 3,000 kids there, not kids, demonstrators, and there was a hell of a lot of kids. It was good to see the SDS is back, you know, the Hispanics, because, you know, yeah, the draft, but here's another thing, Bob, there's no effing jobs, man. In college, the privatizing, you know, this is a war of the class war, and Iraq is a part of it.
Yeah. Getting people to see the big picture is critical, and it's damn difficult.
It's damn difficult, but no one is going to do it for us, and every day, those of us who are in the know.
And what I'm trying to tell you, Phil, and I've got to run along here because I've got blinking lights.
Yes.
But what I'm trying to tell you here is I could sense last night in our conversation a degree of frustration in your voice.
Oh, yeah, you did?
And yeah, boy, I tell you, yeah. am I perceptive or what?
Yeah, really.
But you, and I sense it and I feel it myself. Please, I implore you, Phil, don't let it drag you down. Don't let it make you feel like you're not getting the job done, because you are. If I can convey anything to you in this phone call, it is that some of this has to be organic, okay? It has to be organic, and it has to play into the NIMBY factor, and people will get serious about this. People that otherwise wouldn't be will be serious about this when their ox starts getting gored. I don't know, you know, I'm
it's
sure
already getting gored. I hear you, Bob, and I'm doing good.
I know that, and you know that, but you know what? Until they can't pay the credit card bill, and until the repo dude comes for the 72-inch wall screen TV, they don't know it.
Yeah.
So,
but,
you know,
but
don't.
For me, it's like, I know that we can help it along. We can point out it is already in their backyard and not have
and
to.
don't hesitate to do that, Phil.
Right,
but do
right.
not. But don't despair. Do
I'm
not despair.
Despairing. I was frustrated.
Yeah.
Well, but I ain't like giving up.
Yeah. Don't let. That's what I'm asking you. Don't let the frustration take away from what you're already doing. Phil, thanks so much. I do have to roll along because
get involved, people. If you're not already, please do a little more. Do a little bit more. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now. My God, to hear the imploring, the imploring. Some of us understand that this is desperate business. Let's see who's on line two. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, this is Kate.
Hey, Kate, how are you, dear?
I'm good. A gored ox makes a really good picnic, dude.
Yes, it does. Tenderly roasted, darn straight. Oxtail soup,
yeah.
Sign me up.
Pardon me?
Oxtail soup,
yeah.
Sign me up.
I wanted to just call in and thank you and honor you for your drama at the first hour. The first segment was gut-wrenching, and I just sat here and watched the trees blow and cried because it's just happening all over again. It just keeps going around and around and around and around, huh?
It does. And I read the last line in that Dennis Kucinich story today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a twisted little way that my mind works. In response, Republican National Committee spokesman Dan Ronayne said it was, you know, Ronayne, that sounds like something you take when you can't have sex, you know. Dan Ronayne said it was hard to take Kucinich seriously, and just because it's some of the stuff has just scorched into my brain cells, I realized I was reading the last line of the war prayer.
Yeah.
The man was obviously a lunatic because none of what he said made any sense at all.
Yeah, God. And while you were reading it, I kept flashing on. I don't even know why. It's just the way my twisted mind works. Is being in Victoria Station in London, feeling the spirits of all the people who left that station to go die. It was just horrible. I couldn't walk in that tube station without that feeling of just being overwhelmed by just raging grief. It was God. And all the time you were reading that, I just kept standing there in that station, and I just couldn't get out of it. It was awful. And we're just sending our babies off to be turned into red mist, and nobody, you know, 58%. I just sat here with my mouth open.
Red mist, it's good for business.
Yeah. God almighty. And I just, you were talking about rational people. We need to stay rational. And the other thing that flashes in my mind is, for one thing, the Hopi grandmas say that our planet is suffering from testosterone poisoning, and until that changes, we're just eating ourselves alive. And that's just so true, because the rational people, you know, when you think about the...
What do you do? But Kate, let me interrupt you for a minute, dear. What do you do about the people who don't have any testosterone in them, who are as hot and bothered for war as any guy with the pair that has to be carried in a wheelbarrow?
I don't know any of them, but anyhow, I
know one. She's running for president.
I don't. This is devolving into something. We're heading toward the bathroom here, Bob. I'm telling you.
No, I stay out of the toilet as much as I possibly can.
Well, I think we should in this conversation too, because it's my cell phone minutes. The rational people, I you know, when you think about the conference tables where they sit around and talk all their big talk about what they're going to do and what they're going to do and who they're going to do next and what they're going to do, you know, there's not one grandma at that table, not one.
Nope.
And she would sit. She would look, stand up, and say, "You sit down and shut up. I didn't raise you that way. You know better. You just sit down.
You stop that crazy talk."
Yeah. You know better than that. There's just no grandmas with any input. And it's just, I don't know quite what to do about that, except just, and I just so appreciate Phil from the very first time I ever heard him call. I thought, yes, Phil and I are old, and he's as frustrated as I am. I mean, we're of that age, of that decade, of that era, and we know how it used to be, and I am as frustrated as he is, and he says for me, like Malloy does and like you do, everything that I don't get a chance to say during the day. It's just, it's pitiful, it's frightening, and I really don't know where we're going with this. It's just, I just appreciate Phil's passion. Because he just, I'm in a panic too. I don't have any idea. It's over the horizon, and we can't hear it coming because the friggin' TVs are too loud. And I guess that's all I have to say. I just remember when it was different, and I don't know how it got here. Except I have a feeling that part of it was my fault because I wasn't paying attention. So there you go.
Oh, geez.
Anyway,
I'm not touching that one. I don't see how it's your fault, but I'm just not, you know.
Well, I mean, I think some of us have something. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Anyway, I just wanted to honor you for the work that you did in the first hour because it was beautiful, and I just sat here and felt like, oh, I was on Radio Reader.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet. I miss Preston, and I miss Dave, Tennessee, and I miss Bob from Japan, and I hope these guys call in tomorrow. These folks come on. Could somebody call in who hasn't called in before? That would be fun to hear. I want to hear, really what I wanted to say tonight earlier before you went into your reading was I wish people would call in from around the country and talk about what it's like, what's their sense of, what's their feeling about the economy. The groceries where I'm at have gone up a dollar for everything. And the gas is way high. And I heard there was diesel on sale and a Flying J for $3.99 last night on Trucking Network and in Georgia. And I just wonder, I want to hear from people around the country about what's going on with them, what it's like around the rest of the country. So if anybody's listening, call in tomorrow and, you know, we can convert prayer meeting into, call it something else, you know, make it, you know what I mean.
Dinner on the ground. Dinner on the ground.
Yeah, right. On your knees. Anyway, I'm out of here.
Okay.
I'll talk to y'all later. Thanks.
Thanks for making my call.
Bye.
Bye. And onward. Hi, who have I got?
Oh, it's Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Oh, I know. Peer pressure from the room. It's the chat room.
Oh, peer pressure's hell, isn't it?
Oh my God. It's like, okay, now, do I really call in that much that I can go into the chat room and they're like, "So are you going to call in?"
Yeah, I've been watching the room tonight. They've been really pushy tonight.
Oh God. Just wait, you guys. I'll get you back. Hey, I did, you know, I was like, how can I introduce into the room this subject? You guys ever listen to Tom Hartman?
Oh, I do when I can.
Okay, yeah.
And I know there's a lot of Tom listeners in the audience.
Well, you know, I honestly, since Air America, sometimes he just talks, I love him, you know. I went to his book signing in San Diego. He's a great guy. But he's really beginning to talk at you a lot. I mean, his callers, he just kind of talks at him, and maybe it's his frustration.
I don't necessarily know what that sounds like, but if I start doing it, will you call in and just slap me upside the head, please?
I won't have to. I'm sure, like, you know, ELO or one of those people call you. Kate will call you back. I'm not taking on that job, damn it. Can you tell I haven't smoked for a couple of weeks, Bob?
I was going to say, you know, you're a little cranky. Are you clean? I mean, you...
I'm still clean. I've gained 10 pounds. But I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean. Okay. Anyway, hey, what I was calling about, can you tell I'm, like, spazzing out here? Tom mentioned today about GE CEO talking about, well, if the American economy goes down the tubes, you know, no worries, because we have other markets. We have the Chinese market, we have India, you know, we have Qatar or whatever. Jordan, all of those areas. They're all Qatar. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
Qatar.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and that's true. Where those guys are concerned, they're absolutely right.
Right.
They can pack up bag and baggage. We stay.
Well, you know, you heard, I was listening to Phil in Florida, right, Phil?
Mm-hmm.
And I understand. I mean, I so understand where he's coming from, and he's coming from the heart. You know, most don't know any of them that aren't, except the young man from, I think he's from Maine. I like his.
Yeah, we haven't heard from David in a while. That's
yes,
true.
Yes, I like his sarcasm. But he's a little bit English humor, you know, dry humor. But, you know, I know he's still coming from the depths of his soul and his, you know, compassion for others and passion for, you know, rights and democracy. But I think Phil, I mean, I guess I wanted to call in. So, you know, it's like, yeah, we're all pushing, but like you said, we all, it's kind of like that little kid that, you know, you keep telling, don't touch the stove, it's too friggin' hot. Quit.
Burn the baby. Burn the baby.
Yeah. And then they touch it. Until we experience the pain, do we understand or can we be reminded? Some of us need to be reminded of the pain.
You know? Just said something that I've been nibbling around the edges of, Michelle, and can't find a way to say it that doesn't just make me a complete ass. And you said it in such a way that you're not.
That's surprising.
but you did.
Okay.
And what I said to Phil, I guess, was as close as I could get until the guy from Ripa Center comes along and takes away the 72-inch wall screen TV.
Right.
It ain't gonna hurt.
Well, and
I mean, the Fed lowered interest rates again today, didn't they? Or they're gonna do it tomorrow, or something like that.
Oh, you're kidding! Oh my God!
You know, and that happened the last time, and credit card purchases went, you know, ooh, I got a half a point. And this is
they're paying their bills.
We're getting a price break on our heroin, you know.
Yeah. But they're paying their bills with those credit cards because, like, I think we talked about this before, but if you look at it, the market in the sense of the merchants selling, like Kmart, Walmart, well, Walmart said it wasn't that bad, but Target, all of those, they're not doing well. September and month, so people are just paying their bills with those credit cards. They're just...
And Christmas is coming, and frankly, that's given me the me, Michelle, and Agnes, Christmas is coming, and we've got the cold sweats over it.
Oh yeah, we're going to have a lot of depression, and I think a lot of people are, you know, I hate to say that, but hell, I get depressed in Thanksgiving.
Well, look, I mean, I do most of the cooking on Thanksgiving and Christmas and
right.
Easter. And we usually put on a pretty huge feed on Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter. And I know what the Christmas Day dinner costs, and I don't think it's going to happen this year. I just don't think it's going to happen. Because when milk is $4 a gallon,
right.
When lettuce is $2 a head, I mean, we have done, I think, since we were married, Agnes and I have done a standing rib of beef on Christmas Day.
Oh, really? Wow.
And last year's standing rib was $125.
Yeah. Yep.
And it'll be $175 by the time Christmas gets here.
Well, exactly. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but
for a damn rib roast.
Yeah, and turkey. I think turkey is all of the meat products. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, treats. You know, we do a little something that I learned to make along the way called oysters bienville, And I'm not going to be able to go and buy a bushel bag of oysters. You know, and I'm not sitting here carping about how bad my life is. It's not. Oh, it's so not bad. But, you know, to sit and put on a toy orgy for the children, I can tell you right now, it ain't going to happen. Just not going to happen.
Yeah. I've already talked to the kid. I've already talked to him.
Because you know the way it's going, the way it's coming, that's a, how can I put this? That's a frivolity in which we cannot engage. Because
and you know what, with the kids and with your family, you know, with everyone, you got to communicate. I mean, if anything, I think I would like everyone to hear that, because it is a very, it can be depressing.
This is the Quality News Network. New assessments by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers show that the Mosul Dam, Iraq's largest, is in danger of imminent collapse, threatening to submerge Mosul beneath 65 feet of water. 500,000 civilian lives are at risk. The dam was built on top of soluble gypsum during the Hussein administration. The Corps of Engineers concluded that the dam is the most dangerous in the world and wants to build another one downstream, but the Iraqis insist that the structure is fine. The Pentagon says there were fewer U.S. military fatalities in October in Iraq than there have been in 2 years. As of this afternoon, the total is 34. The Iraqi army freed 7 of the 8 Sunni and Shiite sheikhs kidnapped in Baghdad after holding anti-Al-Qaeda talks. One Sunni sheikh was killed during the abduction. 4 of the kidnappers were killed by Iraqi forces. A bomb has exploded at a Pakistani police checkpoint near President General Pervez Musharraf's office. At least 7 people were killed. Musharraf was not hurt in the suicide attack. There's been an international outcry for an investigation into the arrest of 16 humanitarian aid workers and journalists Friday by Chad soldiers. The workers were rescuing more than 100 refugee children from the war-ravaged Darfur region. French President Nicolas Sarkozy is publicly condemning the aid agency. France is spearheading an international peacekeeping effort for Darfur from Chad. Sarkozy needs Chad's president's support to do so.